It's time for Blindly Obvious.
Hello and welcome to Blindly Obvious. I'm Tyler, as always, with my co-host Jeff, and we are back for part two of our discussion on being jaded. You know, we didn't quite get all of our cynicism out the first time around, so we're going to see if we can maybe do our best to maybe finish out that discussion, as well as come up with some possible solutions for maybe not being so much that way. Jeff?
What's the medicine for all of us who are jaded? That's all of us. I mean, how do we...
Yeah. Don't ask me.
Because that's...
Actually, I feel like I'm usually pretty hopefully optimistic.
Well, me too. I'm delusional. So how do... But we don't want to...
How do probably we, a good way to put that.
Well, what percentage of Americans are medicated for that very reason? Mm. People are on happy pills because they can't be happy.
They can't find a way to be happy.
No, because they're jaded.
I guess I would say, this is definitely not my idea, I've seen this before, but that you should strive to create a life that you don't need an escape from. I think that's a great way to eliminate being cynical, because if you're constantly looking for your next break from what it is that you're doing, I mean, you're obviously unhappy, right? You can't bear with your daily existence, so you can't wait to escape from it. I love my life. I enjoy my family. I enjoy my children, my wife. We're beyond blessed with things that we really don't deserve, but are, you know, grateful to have them, certainly. I just feel as though things always get better. And maybe they don't. That could be my illusion.
So, Dr. Phil, the I don't know who it was. Create a life that you don't want to...
You don't have to escape from.
Create a life for which you do not want to escape.
Yeah.
That's big.
Mm-hmm.
This is kind of complicated, but pulling this together, some of us in our entitlement have expectations no one can meet.
Mm.
And we're requiring and expecting a lifestyle, a life experience that is not sustainable. We're basing our happiness on whether or not we get that. And that's part of your problem. A lot of Americans, happiness is not found in the quantity of stuff or stimulation. It's a choice.
Well, and how much is pleasure and happiness tied to stimulation, to where I also think that creates some cynicism, is people are both physically and mentally burnt out because they're overstimulated. And if you need a medication to make you feel what you believe to be happy, are you happy?
No, you're causing your body to artificially release chemicals that give you the same effects of choosing to be happy.
Like, you're basically artificially stimulating yourself.
Yes.
And which, now I'm not saying some people don't have chemical imbalances, they do. But for the most of us, is it not just what I said? Are we not artificially stimulating ourselves? And it doesn't have to just be prescription medications. I mean, you've got alcohol, you've got marijuana, you've got all kinds of stuff.
Well, to be clear on this, when I say it's a choice, I don't mean like, I'm going to choose to love misery then. That's not what I'm saying. We're basing our happiness, again, we're looking for, okay, the difference in joy and happiness, I should put it that way. Happiness
is fleeting.
Is very much, but joy can transcend even a bad moment.
Well, it's also everlasting, right?
It is. Joy means that you've got hope even in the midst of despair. And that's what we're getting to, is that if you're going to base your entire existence on this short life, you're already at a disadvantage because you are more than your 80 to 120 years if you're lucky to get. That's not what life is. Life is not just this moment here on earth, but what follows.
Mm.
And most people are missing that. But the other side of this, on the flip side, there are those people who are aboard a plane that is going down. And I'm not telling you that you should stay on that plane and crash and burn with it. Some of us, you're in a bad situation and you should be looking for a parachute, and you should be as fast as you can get off that plane.
Is this going down over the water? Or?
It doesn't matter.
Oh, all right. I didn't know if I should get my life jacket and my seat too.
Yeah, well, when you grab the parachute, grab the flotation device too. At least it gives you something to sit on while you wait for the rescue to come.
Yeah, right. That's fair.
But no, there are times to leave. But I think most people are driving down the interstate looking at the exits when they need to start accepting responsibility.
Hmm.
I think we're too short-term. I think if you're short-term, It's easy to become fixated on the moment rather than what's coming. And as a believer, as a Christian, as a Christ follower, in my daily jaded situations that I have, that I face, I have to constantly remember better times are coming.
Better times are always ahead, right?
Well, for some.
Wait a minute. I've been trying to get you to jump on board with that for a long time. I mean, though, if there's no... I mean, I think you pretty much believe there's no hope for our nation at this point, right?
I do not believe the beautiful, prosperous days that we nostalgically look back on and over our 200-year history. There have been some really wonderful times and seasons.
Pushback, though, there's also been some incredibly dark ones.
There have been. I do not believe the next 4 years you're going to see a bit of it.
Of the prosperity.
Of the prosperity. Okay. Not a bit of it.
So
I think you're going to see a decline. I think you're going to see people like you and I, who are upper middle class, going to struggle.
Okay. Now, do you believe that Trump thinks that?
I am so divorced from the consciousness of Trump that I couldn't tell you. I don't even watch his speeches. I watch Trump's speeches like I watch Biden's. I don't. Better times ahead doesn't mean for our country. Better times ahead doesn't mean in my lifetime as we measure it here on earth. I'm talking about heaven.
I'm talking about both.
You know what? I'm certain that you've got plans, right?
Mm-hmm.
What are your plans? You know, go walk me through 10, 20, 30 years.
Well, I'm hoping that this place is back on track as a whole. I'd like to have something by the beach one day. I'd love to go to the beach. That's my favorite. I know I've asked you this question before, and you always say there's really nothing. That you, no dangling carrot, per se. That's
right.
How you always describe it to me.
Yeah, there's nothing that I'm saving for myself. I was thinking more of your philosophical point, was that your plans are to create a life you don't want an exit from. For me, and listen, I want to be clear on this. I don't want you to think that I don't enjoy this life. I do. I'm grateful for the breath of life that I have, but I am fully convinced that everything Jesus promised us is true, not just for the life that I've only experienced, but for the life to come. When you put it in this perspective, today people find gold as precious, right?
Oh, yeah, you said this last week, and you said to think that, like, that's going to be the road.
That's the asphalt
that people are walking on.
Try and put that in perspective, that the things that we treasure today will be what you walk on in heaven. If that doesn't give you goosebumps, then you're not listening, because what is promised for you in the future is better. And the reason I try not to save anything for myself is because Jesus says, whatever you give up in this life for my sake, you will get 100-fold in the kingdom to come.
So you're getting a return on an
Absolutely.
Investment.
Yes.
Spiritually.
So I believe it so much so that I'm storing up treasures in heaven, not here on earth.
Yeah, that's fair.
I'm fully convinced.
I can't argue with
that. I'm just still trying to get fully on board. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does.
Now, I wouldn't say I'm 100% in. I'm selfish like everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
And if I weren't selfish, then I wouldn't be jaded.
I also, in saying, you know, where we called it plan to be, I guess I would more so define it as where I hope to be, because I think we all have plans or things, you know, we desire. And sometimes life takes us on a different course that's not the case. I guess my entire existence doesn't hinder on whether or not someday I get to have
the beach,
a place to live by the beach.
Yeah.
It's just something that I would like to have.
I think what you're saying is there are things that would make what would make you fulfilled is not what would make you happy.
Yes.
And it would be nice to have some of the happy, but
correct.
But you already know you're pretty certain no matter what happens in life, you're going to have the fulfilled part because you're aiming for it every day.
Mm-hmm. Exactly right.
Yeah.
I think that's a perfect way of describing it.
That's how I think where we all need to live is stop being moment to moment and start thinking about the longer range of our full scope of our life. Again, not just these, if you're lucky, 120 years, if you're fortunate enough to get that, But for eternity, you know, what are you aiming for? What are you looking to have? And it goes beyond just you being a father and a good husband.
Sure. Well, and, you know, if we set our focus on one thing that we just incredibly desire, and it's not God, even though we all fall short of that desire. If we set our focus on, let's just use my example of a place by the beach, if that's your one desire and, you know, that you'll do anything to get it, what is it that you're doing to get it? Where is life taking you to make that happen? When you decide that you're willing to do anything to have what you set your focus on, I think oftentimes you end up in places that ultimately don't make you very happy and ultimately probably leave you with some, maybe some sleepless nights or some times in which you'd maybe do things over.
Well, it's a trap. It's a, it's a trap. And the hard part is to recognize the trap. But you're like, no, I want that. Yeah. And so does the mouse with the cheese.
Yeah. Well, it's no different than, you know, we're seeing all this stuff come out with the Epstein client list and people who maybe were associated with him, weren't associated with him. And I guess what I would say in regards to that is being with somebody in a picture also doesn't make you guilty of the things he was convicted of. But for those who are guilty of the things that he's also guilty of, do you think they just started like that?
No.
Me neither.
Yeah, they were compromised. And somewhere, they capitulated. There was something that was offered. You know what it was? A deviant person learned what their carrot was and dangled it.
Well, and, you know, maybe you start out and you're hanging out with the millionaires and you're just like, wow, that's what these people do. Maybe I could do that. And then all of a sudden you're brought into a circle of billionaires and these people do this and it's okay. And I could do that. And then all of a sudden, you know, you're brought to the next level and you're doing things that you would have never imagined that you would be doing. And like, once again, probably in some cases deeply regret. I guess maybe even a more local example we could probably all latch on to because we probably know somebody that's been through this. Do you know anybody that's addicted to heroin that told you, you know what, I can't wait to put this needle in my arm once and then I'm going to be living on the street, not caring if I eat or not or bathe, or I'm going to sell everything I have and all I'm worried about is when I can get high next.
The streetwalker, the girl in the street or the guy in the street who's selling his body or her body, you know, for money. When they were little, I promise you, they never said in the answer to the question, what do you want to be when you grow up? They didn't say, a prostitute.
Junkie.
Yeah, no one does that.
Nope.
But they find themselves there. Why? Because somewhere along the way, they capitulated for what they thought would make them happy.
Yep.
All it did was destroy their life. And that's what your warning is that, you know, if you're going down the road and all you care about is going to the beach, you got a serious problem anytime that you see a beach sign because you're going to want to take an exit as opposed to going to the destination.
And then you fail to realize this beach is actually known for crocodiles and alligators.
Right. Shark attacks or whatever. And then, you know, you end up, you think what's going to bring you happiness makes you a victim by your own stupidity because you stepped right into it. We all are capable of being apathetic, cynical, exhausted, overworked, you know, burn out. Gosh, who can't say they have moments of burnout every day? I think that's why we go to sleep.
Sure. Well, and our society it's set up and created to be burnout.
Right.
All of your time is given to a million different things in a million different directions, and by the time, you know, the end of your day comes, you're just exactly right. You just can't wait to lay down and go to bed.
We, at some point, every day, need to stop and look at the crowd we're following. You know, do you ever crowd watch? Just watch people? I do.
Have I ever crowd watched?
Oh my gosh! I didn't even think about that. Why did I even ask you that?
Come on, man.
It's fascinating to me. Why
do crowd listen though?
Crowd listen. Okay. Yeah. What they talk about, you know, the content matters, right? But I was thinking about, like, you know, going to the grocery store. You ever notice there's no requirement of which door you walk in,
but everybody goes in one and out the other.
Why? Because there's a unspoken pressure for us to conform.
To follow the crowd. Actually, I just came across this great video. I don't know if you've seen this or not. This, like, the people doing it knew it was an experiment. So they had these people, and they bring this lady in who thinks she's coming in for a free eye exam. So it's like a doctor's office setup. She comes in, and they tell her, hey, is this your first time here? Yeah, okay. Just go ahead and take a seat, and they'll be out shortly to get you. So a typical, you know, visit to the doctor's office. She sits down. And there's a few people in the waiting room. And all of a sudden, this beep goes off. All the people in the waiting room stand up. And then they sit back down. It goes off again. And after about the third or fourth time, this lady joins them and starts doing it too. Well, all of the, like, the few people who were a part of the experiment in the waiting room eventually, like, leave. They go out of the room or they're back to the, you know, like, to their so-called appointments, XYZ. Another man walks in for his appointment. The lady, who has nothing to do with the, well, doesn't know she's a part of the experiment, the beep continues to happen. She still keeps standing up.
By herself, probably,
yes.
Right? Yeah.
Yes. And after the second time of her doing it, the guy looks at her and he's like, "Why are you standing up?" And she goes, "The people here before me were doing it, so I thought I should join in. And now I've just continued to do so." And there is several experiments of showing the causation of following the crowd and how there really is something to it.
You know what the first answer was? She thought that she didn't say, "I don't know."
Yeah.
And that's the whole point, is that
everybody else was doing it, so I did. That was her answer.
I see a lot of miserable people, a lot more than I see happy and joyful, content and prosperous people.
That's so true, because anytime you meet somebody that's like that, joyous, happy, and prosperous, they just stick out. Like, it's
they
like,
do.
Whoa.
But they're not the majority.
Oh, no.
And as long as we're following the majority, you're going to act and have and experience what the majority has. Look up. Look up, for goodness sake.
I thought they said don't look up.
That's a funny. I saw that commercial for that movie. That's funny.
As always, this has been Blindly Obvious. If we can see it, you can see it too. You can visit our website at www.blindlyobvious.com, where you can catch up on past episodes, as well as learn a little bit about us. We hope these are just the conversations you've been looking for. Peace, love, and God bless. If you like what you've heard, please subscribe and share the word. And remember, eyes mean nothing if the mind is blind.
It's Blindly Obvious, baby.